I lock myself in the bathroom. I am the bathroom dad for 20 minutes. I just need 15 to 20 minutes of just nothingness.
Yep.
Hello, everybody. This is the Still Parents podcast, supported by Global's Make Some Noise. On today's episode, we are talking all things mental health, because it is International Father's Mental Health Day today, the day that this has been uploaded, which is June 17th, 2024. So this is not a live episode. We did a similar one last year, which the link is in the description for if you would like to go and take a listen. And obviously, there'll be a few of the same topics that we discuss. But just like our Christmas episodes, Ryan and Matt and also our guest Kelly might feel differently about things that they felt even as recently as 12 months ago. So before we start, if you've never heard the Still Parents podcast before, welcome along. You can find us on our socials, Still Parents Podcast, our website, stillparentspodcast.co.uk. My name is Dan. I started this with Ryan and with Matt. I should say Ryan and Matt started this with me 3 years ago during lockdown. Ryan lost his daughter Lily. Matt lost his daughter Callie. 14? Is it 14 now? 13?
14.
14, yeah, and yep.
She's 8 now.
8 years ago.
Yep.
And we wanted to provide a network of supports and collaborate with other podcasts and people all over the globe just to reach out, especially, but not exclusively, to the guys, to know that you have someone that you can talk to. If you don't want to talk, you have people that you can listen to. And the reason why we're doing this particular episode, it's something that up until quite recently, we weren't encouraged to discuss much. So this episode is all about today, which is International Father's Mental Health Day 2024. We are joined on the podcast, delighted to say, and he's been... Yay! He's...
The start of our Christmas theme, Christmas podcast.
Yeah, you'll recognise his voice straight away. All the way from Philadelphia in the US, it's the one and only Kelly Jean-Philippe. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast. How are you?
I am doing well. I appreciate you guys being here, or I appreciate being there with you guys.
Yeah, we're somewhere out there in the ether, aren't we? Yeah, Kelly, the links will be in the description. I think it's the third, might even be the fourth time that Kelly has joined us on the podcast. And I thought today's episode in particular was a perfect one to hear Kelly's thoughts again, not only because he has experienced losses himself with his, is it your wife, isn't it, Michelle?
Yes.
But also because of the job that you do and what you see on a day-to-day basis. You're a chaplain in a hospital in Philadelphia, is it?
Yeah, I'm a chaplain at a hospital here in Philadelphia, and I've been there for about 6 years now.
So you every day have quite intense experiences and conversations.
Usually when I tell people, or when people ask me, like, what do you do for work? You know, I already anticipate, like... people are going to get awkward and weird, and that's typically what happens. So no one really wants to have a conversation with a chaplain at a party. You know what I mean?
What a line. You need that on a t-shirt. Yeah. And on the back, he goes, I'm cool, really.
Yeah. Seriously, I am. But, you know, I have to work people through that. And talking about what I do just to kind of show like, oh, okay, so he is a normal person to talk to. Because, you know, there's the whole... sense of, oh, he's that religious guy.
Right.
So there's that first layer. And then it's like, oh, you work at a children's hospital. Oh, you work at a children's hospital. And then it's like the worst possible case scenarios. And people completely miss the point that there are times when I don't have to deal with all of those difficult situations. But yeah, that's basically what I do.
Can I just ask, Kelly? Sorry, if you were to put death to one side when you're not dealing with death at the hospital, what sort of things does your job entail?
So, it entails visiting people who have been there for a long time, because the hospital that I work in is a high acuity hospital, so people come from all over the world to seek treatment at that hospital.
Okay,
and there are people who I've met who have been in the hospital for over a year. So they basically, you know, live there.
Yeah.
So part of what I do also is to go hang out with those people, like literally just hang out with them for a period of time to have conversations about non-medical stuff.
Yeah.
and just talk about normalizing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and just sort of kind of normalizing as much as possible that situation that they're in.
Yeah.
And they may end up talking about aspects of the hospitalization. They may end up asking me questions about my life and my kids and my pets. And those are information that I offer depending on the situation. But yeah, putting the death side apart, it's that kind of stuff. And also helping not just like the family members of kids who've been there, but talking to colleagues who feel like they need to get something off their chest. Okay. So you get to know people in that space. And the way that I approach my work is I'm not just there for the patients and their families, but I'm also there for staff, you know, and also allowing people to be there for me when I need it. So that kind of stuff. And also consider the fact that, you know, people who've been in the hospital for that amount of time, you get frustrated with some of the day-to-day stuff. So there are times that I've been called to visit someone and I've gotten the warning label, beware, because this person has chewed everybody out that's gone in the room before you. And I walk in.
That's a challenge.
And 2 hours later, I'm walking out and people are like, you've been in there that whole time? I'm like, yeah. Like, we just had a great time. And you know what the issue was? The issue was that person was not being listened to.
Exactly.
They just needed somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, people are like, maybe you're not in the room. They're like, that motherfucker Kelly, how come everyone likes him and I can't do it?
I hope nobody says that about me for real, but if they do, that's their problem.
But it is true, though, isn't it?
That like when you're not listened to, it's the most frustrating thing. And it's not about having.
I don't need you to agree with me. No, I need you to know. I need to know that you've heard me.
Yeah,
doesn't matter that we disagree.
And you know what? When I used to teach, that was one of the main things I used to say to the kids. When the kids would say, "You're not listening, sir. You're not doing this. You're not listening." I'd be like, I'm listening to absolutely everything you're saying. I may not agree with it, but I can tell you now that I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all had a row with someone where you feel like you're not being listened to or they're not
I totally agree. You're listening, but you're not hearing.
That's the phrase, isn't it? Selective hearing.
International Father's Mental Health Day. We did our first one this time last year. And up until we did the episode, we didn't realise that International Father's Mental Health Day was even a day that existed. Kelly, have you heard of it over in Philadelphia?
Never. Not until you reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, this is happening. And I was like, cool, it's happening.
It's interesting.
Mad, isn't it? That,
yeah, because we hadn't heard.
Especially when it says international.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, that doesn't sound pretty international.
You know, if it said national, I could understand Kelly probably not knowing. But the fact it says international.
It'd be fascinating to see actually how many people in different countries know about it.
Well, like yesterday, yesterday was Father's Day. We've actually had quite a good 48 hours if you look at it this way. Like how much can you, like, you know, take liberties.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I've just climbed up Snowdon and back down.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But yesterday, happy Father's Day for yesterday, Kelly, by the way.
Thank you. To you guys as well.
And happy International Father's Mental Health Day for everybody today. If you're a father, because it is a new, I think it's only like 4 or 5 years old this day. And it needs to be there. As we discussed on this episode last year about the challenges, especially maybe at the ages that we're at, all these guys, we're all in our 40s. Kelly, it will be hitting the big 40, I believe, next year. So we come from a generation, like we discussed last year, where it wasn't something that we grew up around. In fact, if anything, it was the opposite, as we discussed, being told to man up quite a lot, which people don't like. But with you, Kelly, especially with the job that you do as well, and I'm going to ask Ryan and Matt too, how would you say your mental health is right now?
As in today?
Yeah. How are you feeling right at this moment while you sat here? Anyone can go first. Matt's been struggling recently with not being able to exercise after his leg fell off at our charity football game. And he's still, I get my lift over tonight, and I'm trying to fit an 8-foot man in a Nissan Juke's a challenge.
Peg leg Fred.
Yeah.
I got called a pirate yesterday.
So how's your mental health been? Because you're only a couple of weeks.
It's been hard work, man. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, yeah, it's been hard work. It's been, it's made me take a little step back from the fact that I probably need something else as well in a sense of when you build your week around 20 miles a week and running an exercise to balance you out.
Yeah.
And then when it's not there, that
the routine.
Right. That does you complete, and like, and it shouldn't do you, because actually you should have other things in your life. And I do have other things in my life. Don't get me wrong. My family are just far more important, of course. And they've helped balance me out over the last month or whatever it's been. The main issue for me that's been is it's come at the wrong time of year with Callie's birthday as well. Because running helps me filter the month, because her birthday is at the start and then Memorial Day to the end. So June bookends itself.
That was the first thing that you said when you were lying on the pitch, wasn't it?
I was in tears.
You were in tears.
Literally in tears. Like, you know,
and we
like,
felt so bad because it's just.
But to counteract that, Ryan was trying to hold my leg down. Then Amy was trying to tell me how to breathe. So actually, that looking back, that was quite like.
I'm not going
to
lie. I was nearly in tears as well when he was squeezing my hand.
So I squeezed Ryan's hand and then I gave Jack Taylor a bruise on his leg because I squeezed his leg so much.
It was a nasty injury. Do you have any coping mechanisms that, you know, because different things work for different people, but whoever's listening to this,
if
might not.
And it's ironic that we're talking to Kelly, but if it wasn't for The American Office.
Oh, the TV show.
Right.
You love that, don't you?
The American Office really is like, and again, I know I've watched it so many times, but the last couple of weeks, I've really watched The American Office again.
I love The American Office.
It's great, but it's something that I don't have to think about too much, but it makes me laugh.
It makes sense though. My favourite thing in the world is laughing, is humour.
Right.
I mean, proper comedy, not shit like Michael McIntyre. Yeah.
I quite like Michael McIntyre.
Oh, I was walking down the street.
How long has he been a turkey for?
Oh, that's really funny.
No, it's been a real tough few weeks, like, genuinely. But like, it's
on the way back now, though.
Hopefully, and
so when you see that light, does that give you a boost?
It does, but and I think this goes back to like my football playing days. I just want to be back running 8 miles a day now. I know that ain't going to happen, but I don't know whether you have that. Like, if you get injured or whatever, that you want the process to speed back up because you just want to get back to doing what you were doing, but actually you know you can't, and
yeah,
that's really frustrating. Yeah. But Kelly, can I ask you a quick question then? Does culture play a real big part as far as opening up and talking? And
so even here in Philly, there's an organization called Black Men Heal, and their sole purpose is to provide free mental health services to particularly African-American men who do not have access to that.
Yeah.
And so that's a organization that's actually partnered with a lot of the hospitals in the area and all the organizations that are pouring into the resources so that they can continue to expand and do things. And I think since the pandemic in general, there's been a focus of mental health conversations and men's mental health. And I also come from, in personal experience, I come from a background where my father once told me that real men don't cry.
Right. Yeah.
So that impacted me in terms of how I perceive myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
How I included that in my definition of what a quote unquote real man is or was. And even now as a 39-year-old man, a father of two, I still, in some regards, struggle with that, even for myself.
Yeah.
I'm okay telling my sons, like, hey, it's okay for you to cry. I encourage my sons to cry, even though Juki sometimes takes it overboard. But I'm like, you know what? It's fine. You do what you got to do. But when it comes to stuff that I'm dealing with and stuff that is impacting me, there's still that inner war inside of my mind, where there's the part of me that has mature enough to say, bro, it's okay for you to cry. And then the other part that's like, yeah, but remember, real men don't cry. That's, and I don't believe that part.
No,
but it's still there. Yeah. You know, it still plays some kind of role in some way, shape.
Because there's so many layers, isn't there, behind that?
Yeah, and also, how old were you when, because it's in your formative years, isn't it? You hear something like that, so it becomes part of your psyche, isn't it, growing up?
Yeah, I was about, 11 so years old. Around that time,
But I think as well, and I'm so glad you've just mentioned that, because I battle that constantly. I'm exactly like you there, that the mature side of you that I'm.
Yeah.
And it sounds really odd for me to say this as being part of the podcast, right? Because of what we're here doing and what we're trying to get men to do or get bereaved fathers to do.
I think as part of the podcast, it's important you do show this bit.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And I think for me, I have exactly the same as you, Kelly, where you have your one mature side that's saying, yeah, just let it out. It's fine. Let it out because it's better out than kept in. You know, it's the right thing to do. Don't keep it bottled up. And then you have the other side, which is the men don't cry type of thing. And this is what I mean about that pivot generation. Even though we are this pivot generation, we're living between two polar opposite emotions.
Constant battle, isn't it?
And I do think, I think that obviously where men are struggling, and from what I see a lot of with bereaved men, is that the anger takes over. So rather than letting them cry, rather than them letting themselves cry and letting out that emotion in that way, in that healthy way, they're choosing to go the anger route instead, or they're choosing the
that's more acceptable. That's why.
Because you know what happens when we walk by, punch a wall.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, fair play, go on, lad.
You're never gonna win though, but because the wall's 10 times fucking harder than you are, and it's like, do you know what I mean? But you're never gonna win.
Yeah.
But it's the anger side, and I think from that perspective, and I used to get it when I used to run, and I don't run anywhere near as much as Matt and what other bereaved dads who we speak to do. But I found at one point I was running to the extent where I was trying to hurt myself as much as possible so I could feel as much pain as possible.
Yeah.
And if that meant I only ran 2 miles or 10 miles, if I ran 2 miles as fast as I could possibly go for 2 miles,
so you're hurting.
I was hurting, and then I'd stop. I suppose in some ways a form of self-harm, isn't it? You know, you get some people who will cut themselves because they need to feel that pain and that release of whatever it may be, whereas this is the other way of doing it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that without admitting to it.
Yeah.
Kelly, have your children seen you cry?
Eden, he doesn't know. The only thing he cares about right now is his bottle. So, but definitely Juki has seen me cry. And when he's seen me cry, he asked, like, Daddy, what are you doing? And he even said to me, Daddy, don't cry. And I was like, nah, buddy, it's okay for Daddy to cry.
It's okay for me to cry.
It happened once. My youngest daughter wouldn't remember, but my oldest, Gabrielle, she does. And she mentions it from time to time because it stuck in her head. And I don't like the fact it did, because I didn't like her seeing me upset. But then the other person on my other shoulder is like, actually, it's good, because it shows that there's an emotion there, which I remember I didn't have with my old man. So, and it's learning, how do I feel about it on a given day?
And do you know what as well? And more so that it's your daughter, and I'm the same with mine. I don't think my two daughters have actually ever seen me cry, because I don't think I've ever been in a situation by where they maybe would have seen that.
Yeah.
They maybe have when my nan died or something like that, but especially with a daughter, if they see that their daddy's crying, they're more than likely going to have more of a healthy relationship with, when they get older, with a male or whoever it may be, because they're seeing that actually there's a male crying here. It's okay to be able to cry.
Crystal said to me that she said that you're the first male role model in your daughter's life.
Yeah.
And I thought, I thought, you know what, good luck then, fair play to her. Like, but no, that was my first reaction. But I've got actually a question for all of you. I had an incident the other night where I put Etta to bed, and I came back downstairs, and Etta's got this really good way of waiting just as you settled on the sofa, she gets back up again. So you got
my dog's like that.
Right.
Sit down, she rings the fucking bell to go out for the
week. Your dog can ring a doorbell.
No, it's a
thing. Britain's Got Talent.
We've got like this dangly bell.
Right, okay.
Right, from the handle. We trained Lola that when she wants to go out for the toilet, she just taps the bell.
Yeah.
So we can hear the bell. And she, and like Matt just said there, she's just got this superpower of knowing as soon as you've eaten your dinner, or then you go and sit down, you put the TV on, you press play.
because it happens so regularly, she probably thinks that's what she's supposed to do. It's the routine.
Yeah, probably.
I just love the fact your dog's got a doorbell. Yeah. Do you ever use it just for a joke? Yeah. Hey, mate, I'm going for an air too.
So I had, because obviously with me being on on my crutches for the last couple of weeks and whatever. Going back up the stairs on a crutch is quite hard work.
Yeah.
So Etta had basically, I'd gone back up to make sure she was all right, put her back to bed, came back down, and literally she got up within the space of 2 minutes. So I went back up again. And I went back up and I was angry at that point because I'm like, I mean, it's hard enough. I mean, going back up and downstairs anyway, but using the, and I said, I went, Etta, I said, you got to stop this. And I've got this crutch and it's taking me like, you've got to go back to bed. But as I put her back to bed, as I left the room, she was almost in tears and upset. I came back downstairs again and I was like, I can't.
Did you feel guilty?
I can't leave her like that. Yeah. Yeah. So I went back upstairs for the third time on my crutch, but I went back up and I got her out of bed and I gave her a cuddle and I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have reacted that way. I hope you have a lovely sleep, blah, blah. I love you, and put her back to bed. And it settled me for the night so much because I thought,
yes.
So have you guys ever done that? Have you apologized to your kids or anything like that? Yeah. Because that's a big thing. I can barely look after myself. So I'm not looking after a kid.
So I'll share two examples with you. One really big one and one most recently, which is pretty benign, but still the same thing. And this had to happen like 2 years ago, maybe. So we have two cats, Jackpot and Lucky. You're not a
Lucky Jackpot. I love it.
Yeah. And so every morning I wake up and we give the cats food. So Juki decided that he wanted to give the cats food and take on that responsibility. So I give him this red cup full of, you know, food for the cats. And I tell him, hey, buddy, go downstairs, pour some into each of the cat's bowls.
Yeah.
And don't pour the entire cup into one bowl. And I don't know why that particular morning, that was such a necessary thing that needed to happen before I went to work. But I went downstairs to check to see if he had done the job correctly, and he just poured the whole cup in one bowl. And I lost my mind.
Yeah.
I stormed down there while he was still there, and I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm telling you not to put the bowl. I mean, I just went off.
Yeah.
I went completely off. And then I stormed back up the stairs, and I was just like, over some cat food, bro?
Yeah, it's true, bro.
Like both cats can't eat from the same bowl? Are you serious? So like you, I was like, okay, Kel, you need to settle yourself. So what I did was I asked them to go back downstairs with me to the scene of the crime. And I got down on my knees in front of them. And I was like, hey, buddy, I am so sorry for speaking to you that way. I'm so sorry for yelling at you over something that was so simple. It's not your fault. This is daddy's fault. So could you please forgive me? I promise that I'll never talk to you like that again. And as I was talking to him, I realized my words were going in one ear and out the other. But it was important for me to do that.
Yeah.
Whether or not he remembers this story, this event, when he's, you know, 15, 20, 30, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At that moment, I was giving him something that my parents have never given me.
Exactly.
They have never given that to me. I don't have much of a relationship with my father, so I'm not even expecting that from him. My relationship with my mom right now is all sorts of weird, because she has never given that to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've called her out on it, and she has never given that to me. So I'm like, cool, you've made your bed, you're going to lay in it. Mm-hmm. Most recently, he was drinking a carton of milk, but like a little container of milk. And he was like, Daddy, I don't like the taste of it. And I'm like, come on, man. We're broke. Milk is expensive. Like, you open it, you're going to drink it. So I'm forcing him to drink this thing. And then he's just like, Daddy, I don't like the taste of it. I don't like. At no point did I think, check the expiration date. So
he's actually eating yogurt.
Yeah. It's got like a flake in it.
So he puts it in the fridge. And then later on, like a couple hours later, he's like, I'm thirsty. And I'm like, you still got your milk in the fridge. So go grab the milk. So he grabs the milk and he takes another sip. And he's like, Daddy, I don't like the taste. And I'm like, you know what? Let me check this stupid milk, man. And sure enough, we're in the month of May. That thing was expired like early April.
Oh, that's brilliant. And do you know what? I love hearing that because I think it's important for men and whoever's listening to this podcast to hear that, because that's normal everyday life and everyone has it. I'd be very worried if anyone had a kid and they listened and did everything correct 100% of the time. I'd be like, what, you know, you're going
to... I have no idea what to do.
Government's going to want to do tests parent. On them if that was the case.
Yeah.
But then to have the self-awareness, like Matt said, and Kelly, to go back and address the issue. And I've done it myself. So those examples that you guys have given, I think are great. However, what I have learned is that the cat story with the food in one bowl, superb, and that Ryan's dog rings a doorbell.
I'm the polar opposite to what you two are. Okay, yeah. But I feel really fucking bad.
No. It was not for that.
Feel so fucking bad.
No. It's not to make any feel bad.
No, I know. Like,
yeah, but yeah.
The kid's got to ring a doorbell as well.
There are times where, yeah, okay, I've maybe shouted or I've lost.
Look at Ryan's body language now.
Or I've lost my shit because, you know, like for the 15th time, they're still getting out of bed. Or, yeah. I mean, Bobby's a prime example for us in the morning getting ready for school. Like, she is a I give no shits type of person getting ready for school. Like, Bobby, go and get your shoes on. Before you know it, she's fucking ballerinaing around the house. What shoes? I don't know what shoes are.
Like, I don't know what shoes are. Yeah.
But you know what? Sitting back and then you sort of think, and it's only because you're stressed out, you're trying to get out in certain times and things like that. That is what makes everybody so different, is everybody's individual personalities.
Plus, you've got four running around in the morning.
I think if I'm going to take anything away from this today, I'm going to try that one, Kelly, where I get down on my knee and apologise for shouting numerous amounts of times, get your fucking... No, I'm not. I can't honestly say that. Get your shoes on!
You know what it is? The thing is, though, the thing is, though, you can only live the moment that's happening right at that point, it's true, you can.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, if I hadn't have had my crutch, would I have gone back upstairs and apologised? Probably not, because actually going up the stairs is normal, it's fine, but it's the fact that... like I said, I think it was just the fact that I left. Now, listen, she could just been clever and put that cry on, because Etta's like so good at like crying. Then she'll be like, and all of a sudden she's talking normally. Like, how'd you do that? Like, you know, so there's nothing really wrong. But like, I think it was just more, I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I just went back down and thought, I need to address this, and you know,
my filter now with those silly things is, and it comes through learning as on the job, isn't it? Well, I say on the job, learning from being a parent, is what am I going to remember about this in 5 years? And most of the things from 5 years ago, which they did that wound me up, and are fucking hilarious. And then they're funny stories, and I can talk to them about it. And on top of that, I'm going through a phase of giving tough love at the minute. So, like, there's only one way that Gabrielle's going to remember to bring her water to netball practice four times a week that I drop her off at, and that is by not reminding her to bring it anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
And then she forgot it, and then she was really thirsty. And I thought, well, you're not going to die after one game.
No.
But has she forgot it since? No.
Right.
It worked. That's exactly just her.
Yeah. And parenting, I mean, who the hell knows what they're doing? Yeah. I don't know.
Not us.
That's true, man.
I'm just fucking winging it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what I'm doing.
One question I would like to end on with this, and it's for all of you, because I think this is an important one, because Matt said on the show last year, you don't need to have a mental health issue in order to look after your mental health.
1,000%.
And you look after it. It's a process, isn't it? Like trying to stay healthy, trying to build muscle, whatever it is that you do, it's constantly tuning it up on. Matt mentioned last year, at any point, it can derail your day. You could be going fine up until lunchtime. Before you know it, you've dropped off a cliff. How do you get yourself out of that on any day?
Do you know what I think a lot of people forget with mental health? Is that you could go outside now as a perfectly physically able person, and you could walk out and you could get hit by a car, bang, you've broken your leg, you've broken your arms or something like that. What people, I think, forget about mental health is that actually mental health works in exactly that way as well.
Right.
Is that it's not just something that will manifest over a period of time. Mm-hmm. It is something that can literally, just like if you were to be hit by a car, bang, it hits you, and then all of a sudden your mental state is completely different.
So you're saying you've got to accept it, you can't stop it, it will, it's, if it's going to happen, it will happen.
I think everybody at some point during their life, maybe per day, has at some point something where mentally they are agitated, they're anxious, they're panicking, they're worried. All of these words link into mental health. I know physically we can show worry, we can show anxiety, we can show things like that as well. But to show it, you've got to be feeling it, and to feel it, it's got to be mental.
What's the connection between that and what your mood is that day?
Well, mood is part of mental health, isn't it? And that's what I mean, is that, yes, you can be healthy, look after your mental health, eat properly, exercise, things like that. You know, all these things that release the endorphins, the you know, the happy hormones and things like that. But I also think that we have to remember that it can, at any point, change as we've experienced as bereaved dads or bereaved parents.
Yeah.
Something can go bang and then all of a sudden there it is. Your mental state has moved, you're off the frequency or whatever it may be. If I'm in a moment whereby I need that get out from a mental capacity, I tend to either talk to someone and tell them, whether that's even just through a message. I might not want to speak to somebody face-to-face or you know, voice-to-voice, but I'd rather just message someone so I've got it down in that way.
Yeah, makes sense.
Or I will quite often, and I do this quite a lot, is I'll just go onto social media. And do you know why?
Well, that winds me up more.
No, but do you know why? Because I look at other people's lives and I think to myself, I'm not the only fucker that's struggling.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to write. Just write loads of really long notes on my phone and then never read them.
Yeah. Yeah, or just do you know what?
It's like having a word poo.
No, yeah.
I'm a sucker for talking to myself.
You know, we spoke about this before.
I speak to myself. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I can just talk to myself and it just helps. Yeah. And I think it's just verbalising what's going on in there.
Kelly, how about you?
Yeah, that's a good point. So recently I saw this video on Instagram talking about social media, and the gentleman who was talking, he's a therapist who I follow. And
Can you remember his name?
I can't think of his name now, but I'll definitely find it and shoot it your way. But he was in a group of other men and talking about how there are times when, like you said, you just wake up and something happens during the course of your day that just throws you completely off. You weren't anticipating it. You weren't looking for it. It just happens. And so what he said, I found very helpful in that you just have to be aware of that moment and then share with the people around you what your needs are. So when that happens to him at home and he just wakes up and he's just in a bad mood and everything just feels like there's a gray cloud, you know, hovering over him, to have the emotional maturity and the awareness to say to his spouse, like, hey, listen, it's not you. It's not even the kids. It's entirely me. There's something happening with me that I need some help figuring out. So however I talk to you today, however I come off today, it has nothing to do with you guys. It's just something that I need to work through and figure out. I'd love it for you to help me, but you don't have to. Like, just being aware that it's not you guys, and then actually doing something about trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
if that's talking, if that's, you know, going off for some kind of physical activity. So, how I do it, how I struggle to do it, is to do just that.
Mm.
You know, just being aware of what I'm feeling, because many a times, you know, I carry so many other people's stuff from work on a weekly basis. And for as much as I've created structure to leave work at work and then come home, it takes so much energy to walk through the doors of my own house, because I've just spent a whole day talking and listening to people and their stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I come home, and I am so glad to come home, I have two little ones who are so energized and they haven't seen daddy all day, and it's they want to spend time with daddy, and it's just like full-fledged. And I lock myself in the bathroom. I am the bathroom dad for 20 minutes. I just need 15 to 20 minutes of just nothingness.
Yeah.
While I'm sitting on the throne, whether stuff is coming out or staying in, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like I just need to sit there and just get lost in a game on my phone.
There are lots of women that need to understand this.
Yeah, I mean, and I am so thankful for my wife because we actually had that conversation a while back and I was like, listen, it's not because I want to be removed from my family.
Yeah.
I just need 15 to 20 minutes
need
to
a
just
moment.
Decompress.
Yeah.
In all possible ways before reemerging and spending time with the boys.
Do you know what, Kelly? What I will say is I think that's my favorite comment of this entire episode because I think it is so true. Do you reckon this is a reason? Quite often you see, just if you go to any car park, like in a shop, there's always, you always see a couple, and I've done it myself, you always see a couple of guys just sat in a car on their own. This amount of people you just this I can't go home yet. I just need 10 minutes, and it doesn't mean that it's rubbish.
Yeah,
it's just as Kelly worded it so much better than me.
Yeah,
yeah, fantastic. That was brilliant.
No, I agree.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us on today's episode of the Still Parents Podcast for International Fathers Mental Health Day. Like I said, the link for last year's episode and Kelly's previous appearances as well is on the description. But yeah, if there's anything that anyone would like to say, now is the time.
There's one thing I don't often say to a lot of blokes, and that is just be kind to yourself. Yeah. There's going to be shit days. Yeah. There's going to be good days. There's going to be days where you don't particularly want to talk to someone. There's going to be days where you might just want to go and sit in the car for a half hour.
Or toilet.
Or the toilet on the throne, absolutely. Yeah. But it don't matter.
Yeah.
Just be kind to yourself. Embrace it and allow yourself to be vulnerable every now and then.
Yeah, 100%.
And don't see it as a weakness.
Yeah.
Don't see it as a weakness because that's the point. That's the problem with it, isn't right? Especially from a male point of view, is that can't show that vulnerability and admit to it because it's a weakness. But it's not a weakness. It's just that you accepting what you are and it is what it is, right? You know, and if the right people around you understand, then you can be weak. And it's not being weak, it's just admitting your vulnerability to the world and knowing that actually you'll be fine. But if you don't show that vulnerability, then it's going to come out somehow, some way.
I'll actually say this, if I may. I finally gave in and sought out a therapist after Eden was born, my second son. And to me, the realization was when I woke up one morning and the first thing I wanted to do was drink a margarita. And I'm not a big drinker, but when I do go out, you know, my drink of choice is either a margarita or a glass of red wine.
Yes.
So for it to be early in the morning, and I had been feeling that for several days, and we had been trying to go out, and every day I had been having a margarita, and I was like, wait a minute, it's 9 something in the morning. I shouldn't be wanting a margarita the way that I want to have a margarita right now.
You're making me want to have one, the amount of times you're saying it.
So for me, that was like the aha moment. Mm. And I just had to, for someone who had been talking to other people and encouraging, you know, finding a therapist or a counselor or whatever, I wasn't taking my own advice.
Mm. Yeah.
Having my son come and completely disrupt whatever rhythm that we had already built with Juki, I realized that if I didn't take that step, I would have ruined my relationship with Juki. I would have ruined my relationship with my wife. I would have ruined other relationships. And more importantly, I would have ruined myself in many ways. So to the point of, you know, being kind to yourself and not considering seeking help as a weakness, you know, the cliche is it takes incredible amount of strength to have self-awareness.
Yeah.
And to have that level of strength, I think that's the kind of strength that every man should be wanting to display above, you know, all of the other stuff that we've been told from growing up that makes up who we are as men. So just wanted to put that out
Fantastic.
There.
Fantastic.
And actually, I think that's perfect way to finish as well because you know, you always hear of alcoholics, people that abuse drugs, gambling addicts, things like that. The hardest thing is for somebody to admit that they've got a problem.
Acknowledgement.
And that is the first part of the recovery. isn't it? And as soon as you admit that you need that help, that support, that, you know, extra little bit, it's not weakness at all. It's actually acknowledging the fact that to be that better person, you need that extra little bit of help.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us once again. If you've never heard Kelly or follow Kelly before, listen to his podcast, I thoroughly urge you to do so. I've become quite an avid listener myself. In fact, Kelly might be getting a bit sick of me messaging him on Instagram. Going, I really enjoyed this part. Really enjoyed this part. Really enjoyed this. This part's good. Yeah. Can I have your voice? You know, but the miscarriage dad. And we're looking forward to going on that very soon as well. And everything that you do and the people that you speak to, we think you're fucking brilliant, Kelly. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys for having me.
So that was this special episode of the Still Parents podcast, brought to you in association with Global's Make Some Noise. If you can spare a couple of moments to give us a review, massively appreciate it. It makes it easier for us to be discovered and it goes a long way. Thank you. Reach out to us if you'd like someone to talk to, or to Kelly if you'd like to listen to his shows and all of his media as well, on his Instagram and his social channels. All the details are in the description. We'll be back very, very soon. Take care, everybody.